Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I am host Travis.
And I'm Chris.
And thank you for tuning in to another one of our episodes. This week we are reviewing Logan. We just watched it for the second time, just to, for research purposes only. We felt the need to watch it in the movie theater for the second time.
Of course, you weren't going to cry in front of your wife, so you let it out with me.
Talking about. Dude, no, because, you're sitting next to the same asshole I was chopping onions behind us. That's the problem. I don't know why this guy, every time we watch this movie, he wants to start busting out an onion and start chopping in front of everybody, like an asshole. But, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
So, we watched it when it first came out. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, since I saw it Thursday night.
Me too.
Night before it came
Me
out.
Me too, yeah. And we said, okay, we're going to do an episode on this. We've got to. This is, for more than one reason, this is an important film. We just one thing after another, we're delay. It's been like 3 weeks. Like, okay, we're going to do it. Shit, I've slept since I've seen it. Let's go watch it again. All right.
Well, of course, we had nothing better to do on a Sunday, so we spent $5, snuck in some snacks.
You're damn right. The American way, damn it. Yeah. Don't judge us. You do the same thing. All right. So,
do you have a warm-up or a pop culture pause or whatever it is that we started trying to do?
You know,
I have one.
You do? You have one. Oh, well, by all means.
Yeah. Since we're on the topic,
all right.
We got an update on Deadpool 2.
Well, okay. Well, go ahead. What's the update on Deadpool 2?
So basically, if you haven't been living under a rock and haven't seen Logan yet, there is a teaser for Deadpool 2, which is freaking hilarious. So you get some comedy out of this whole experience because you're not getting it from the fucking movie itself. So Deadpool 2 basically... Wade's walking down the street and he sees somebody getting mugged at gunpoint, so he's like, oh man, I can't have this. Goes to the phone booth, tries to change it to his Deadpool costume. Somehow the swords were in his backpack, which I don't know how that logistically
just
works.
Just go with it.
And by the time he's almost finished, bang, the dude gets shot and Deadpool runs out. You showed me a version that had Stan Lee complimenting him on his way out of the phone booth, and he starts hauling ass and like, oh shit, he's dead. So just in case you forgot, Deadpool 2 is coming, and that nice little 4 minute laugh was probably entertainment wise that was the funniest part of the entire experience.
Oh, yeah. And
obviously, because
that's the thing, when we were going to watch the movie, they almost retrospect, like now that hindsight 2020 and all that, they did the post credit scene like before the movie even started, because Logan had no post-credit scene.
Yeah.
And before we move on any further, I do want to let everybody know before we start talking about Logan, spoiler alert, in case you haven't seen it, there will be spoilers. We're going to assume you've already seen the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie, hit the pause button, go to the movie theater, spend your $5, come back.
Pirate Bay, whatever.
Not that we condone that.
Yeah.
On the Deadpool 2 thing, of course, everybody's been picking that apart because there's many references and hints and things like that. One of the first ones I saw was on the phone booth itself. Nathan Summers, coming soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, we all know Nathan Summers, Cable. That's post-credit scene in Deadpool. He even told us flat out, looking at the camera.
We're getting Deadpool.
Yeah.
No, we're getting Cable.
You're getting Cable.
And that was even before the studio greenlit it. That was actually like a backhanded joke.
Yeah.
And then the studio's like, all right, I guess we surrender unto you, Sir Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Do as you please.
So, and then the one thing that really stood out to me was I was taken aback a little bit by the Firefly posters next to the wall across from which you could say there's a connection with Deadpool because Marina Baccarin, she played in Firefly. But other people are saying, well, Fox recently, for whatever reason, just now, after all this time that Firefly's passed, now they're wanting to reboot Firefly or continue Firefly, but only on the asterisk here that Joss Whedon returns to direct and write it and everything. And that's kind of bittersweet, that's cool, but at the same time, I just, that should have been, this should have been an announcement like 10, 15 years ago. You know, we shouldn't have been waiting this long. We've already lost a recently cast member to Firefly, so it can't be a complete cast anymore. Yeah. So it just feels kind of like now Fox, for whatever reason, they're deciding they want to do it on their terms.
It's not just Fox. I mean, it's for the past 2 or 3 years, what's old is new again.
You know,
they bring it back, Young Justice. They redid Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of did the whole reboot with Transformers. We're starting with Age of Extinction. Like, everybody's getting in the, hey, let's try this again. No one's going to speak of Fan-Fortastic, but, you know. And then we just saw a clip while we were setting up of movies that are coming out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything's a fucking sequel to something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, if it works, it works. So. Yeah.
But, you know, the little 4-minute trailer or whatever, that's... It was a good way to just kind of let stuff go at ease a little bit before we get into this movie here. The little at the very end of it, after he's trying to start to eat the Ben and Jerry's ice cream, the little scrolling up thing.
Oh man!
I actually went online and I screenshotted it, and it's like it's just a weird story about an old man out in the sea, and it's just like it's still like, it just goes on and on. About this tale. I mean, that's all it is. I'm sure there's meanings behind it and everything. I skimmed through some of it because it was so long. You saw how fast the thing was going, how long it was. But anyway, I don't know why they put it, just to be random, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, that's the entry into this movie. Speaking of Deadpool 2, they did announce they hired an actress to play Domino in Deadpool 2, and I'm sorry the name of the actress escapes me at the moment, but it's you can Google it, it's out there. We're not a news site, damn it. All right. So anything else before we jump right into this?
That's
movie?
It for now.
All right, so Logan, it was written and directed by James Mangold, who did the Wolverine previously. He's done some other things besides the Wolverine. He did Copland back in 97, Girl Interrupted, Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash movie.
So I can see where some of that was. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The trailer for Logan, the Johnny Cash song. Yeah.
So he directed the Wolverine, which was the second solo Wolverine movie.
Right.
As a fan, do you consider the Wolverine better than X-Men Origins?
Oh yeah.
So he's already built up enough equity, but even before we knew what this movie was, that okay, we'll give this the benefit.
I knew the vibe. I knew the vibe we're getting because X-Men Origin Wolverine and the Wolverine, two totally tonally movies. You know, just the vibe and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where and I think Logan fits in with the Wolverine, mm-hmm. obviously more than the
self struggle as opposed to the whole group.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And there's some, I know earlier in Pop Culture Realm, we did a review of the Wolverine, and there's some pros and cons to it. It's definitely different, but it took place after X-Men Last Stand. But since the Wolverine happened, we had Days of Future Past, which rebooted everything,
mm-hmm.
which affects this movie, timeline-wise, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll get into timeline issues here.
There's one reference when we get to the timeline issues. There's one reference that I was expecting that I didn't get, and I'm hoping we'll get to that in a bit.
Okay, so. I'm sure we will.
So where do we start off at?
Okay,
the beginning, right?
So yeah, I mean, it starts off with Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, Logan. Now he's starting off. He's a limo driver. It's
2049.
No, it's 2029. They've said that.
Okay, 2029.
Yeah.
Because he's driving a 24 Chrysler?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I didn't catch the first time we watched it. And the second time, I was like, oh, that's what they meant by 24. I thought they're something, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a limo driver. Obviously, he's got gray hair, full beard. Time has passed. At this time, the start of the movie, we don't know how much time has passed. We just know he's a little older. That's all we know so far.
Yeah.
And he's a little slower on the uptake a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. When he gets out of the limo, he's stumbling around and... But is he drunk? Is he just tired? What's going on?
Oh, it's both.
Yeah.
He's mostly drunk.
You've been there, right?
He's drank a lot in this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
I can relate to that sore throat and that dry heave cough that he had a lot through most of that movie. Yeah, when you're drinking Johnny Walker and Jack Daniels straight out of those little mini bar bottles, yeah, man, that's like that's a tonsil surgery right there. You're doing it on your own. Just
that's got a healing factor, right?
Trying to.
Yeah. So this scene doesn't take long for it to get violent. There's
did it earn its rated R rating within the first
yes
act?
Yeah. Did it ever. So there's this a gang, they're trying to jack his tires.
Ride, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't go well.
Nope. Gunshot. He warned him.
Well, not even then. He said, hey, you're gonna strip the bolts on there. You need to. And then
it's a lease, man. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Fuck. This ain't even mine. This ain't ever
going to
be mine.
Boom! Shotgun to the shoulder. He's down. And then they
come
continue
on.
Business.
Come on. I tried to tell you. It's not worth it. Skin. There we go.
Yeah. Beatdown commences. Well, this is the first time we're seeing it, right? Where he pops the claws, but...
Not all the...
Yeah,
one's
like
not
two,
all the way.
Two and a half. We get two and a half claws on a hand, you know. So that right there is even further. Okay, something...
Yeah.
Something's up, you know. We don't know.
He's got some sort of erectile dysfunction of the adamantium sort.
Yes. Oh. Nicely done, sir. Yes. So these people, they just
can't get it up all the way for anybody that didn't get it.
Yeah, they got it. So, the claws come out and the slashing begins, and does it ever? Now, of course, we all know going into this movie it was a rated R, the first in the series. I think this is the first. Instance of it earning the rated R,
mm-hmm.
right? Hacks and slash abound.
There was a small tease during X-Men Apocalypse for the eight people that saw that movie where the kids let Wolverine free from his Weapon X and he has the whole gear and everything. Mm. And they don't directly show him, like, it doesn't get gory, but you do see, like, those old gory movies where you see, like, the blood splatter
right,
on the
right,
wall.
Right.
Like, so you kind of get... You kind of
get imagination.
Yeah, you get a feel of, oh, man, this is kind of the Wolverine we've been wanting,
right.
almost.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't take Deadpool for us to realize this is what the story called for, and this is what we've been wanting.
Right, yeah. And in this one, we're getting, like, headshots through and through throughout this whole movie.
Dude lost an arm.
Yeah, we're getting lopped limbs. This puts Star Wars to shame. How many limbs are going are being dropped in this movie? As far as since we're talking about it, the rated R, the violence, and not just the violence but the language also. There's two things that really. The first time I watched it, the kills were really cool. Right, and it still were. I mean, you watch them again, it's like, because it's something that we haven't seen live action, Wolverine just letting loose, going crazy, killing motherfuckers. That's fine. It's cool. But then the language, you know, the F-bombs. Maybe it's just me getting older. I don't know. Or me just OCDing a little bit as far as this is a movie, just a chapter in a whole franchise. And if you're trying to keep, not continuity, but like a vibe throughout the whole series, really, you can't, like, everything else is what, PG-13? Mm-hmm. And this is rated R. And it's just like, if you're trying to, you know, maybe show this off or whatever the case may be, it's different, you know? And I don't know if that it's a positive or negative, but I don't know. What do you think?
Man, I hate to lose people here, but I might have to agree with you.
Yeah.
The rated R.
I wasn't expecting that.
The rated R, I was expecting it for the violence.
Me too. Yeah.
Not so much the language.
Yes.
Not everyone has to be potty mouth Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of the dynamic in the comics between Deadpool and Wolverine, his language and perverse humor mm-hmm. compared to Wolverine's just straight up like alpha maleism,
right.
doesn't necessarily mean that it comes with like the cross thought of like Negan from Walking Dead where every word out of his mouth is fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah.
You know? But, in the moment, watching both of them, that thought didn't cross my mind until you just started mentioning the fact that, you know what, we wanted to turn up the violence, not so much he didn't have to be turned. This isn't like Wolverine Max, like the Max
right.
series where all of them was like rated R or whatever as far as
look
like
two of the comic references.
And I didn't think it was necessary, but I don't think it hurt it. At least for me, unless you're gonna go to AMC and watch the fucking marathon of all nine X-Men movies
right,
in order,
right.
and then you're gonna top it off with the family friendly because there's kids in it.
Well, I'm not even saying family friendly because the other ones, yeah, there's some F-bombs in the other movies. They let
one or two.
Yeah. Well, because that's the limit you can do on.
Logan gave the middle finger to the metal detector in the first movie.
Right, right. Yeah. So I mean, that's just
the middle
tongue-in-cheek humor type things, but it's X-Men First Class, go fuck yourselves, you know. That's things like that. They've been able to do things like that within the boundaries of PG-13. But I think with it being rated R, they were just like, well, fuck it. We're just going to...
go full balls out.
Yeah, and which is fine. I've been a proponent of that. I've said that before in the show. Like, if you can go rated R, go rated R. Go all out. So I'm trying not to sound like a hypocrite to myself. But it's just one of those things where... I don't think it was I don't say appropriate, but it didn't fit the.
It wasn't necessary.
It wasn't needed. Yeah. So
tantrum in the truck where he's like trying to get it to start. We've all had that moment.
Oh, yeah,
where
yeah.
We're just like cussing at the steering wheel and hoping we punch it hard enough that we get our aggression out, but not too hard that the airbag blows in our face.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to make that just kind of point that out as far as review aspects go. So Hugh Jackman, we just talked about him. Obviously, the star of the movie, Logan, Hugh Jackman, he is Wolverine. What did you think of Wolverine? What did you think of Hugh Jackman in this movie?
I've liked his character in all the movies.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's a sign of the quality of the rest of the movies behind him, but it felt like all the rest of them were practice.
You think
and
so?
And this one was where all the spark, all the everything was firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's
it's a hell of a swan song.
Oh yeah. 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 Definitely. And you could tell like he's if you go back and watch him from the beginning, like see what he looks like in X-Men from 2000 to today. I mean, he is just not aged, but like he's grown with the character. If that makes sense. Like he's become more. Wolverine. Like before, I remember when X-Men came out. I was like, what? He's not really big. He's too tall. What the? You know, it was one of those things.
There weren't a lot of bubs thrown around.
Yeah. Well, he did say bub in X-Men, so I'll give him that. But as time gone by, and he's stayed with it this whole time, he's become pop culture. He's become
at some point between X2 and X3, it felt like he actually went past just memorizing the script and actually started reading some of the omnibuses or some of the books to actually see get more out of the Logan character that we would recognize. And like you said, watching all the movies, not that we did it recently, but in our memories, having seen all of them, you could tell that he's evolved with the character.
Oh, and
made it like pure Wolverine, but also made it like pure him. Like, I feel sorry for the next guy that's in the Phil Lowe shoes.
Oh, yeah.
It's going we'll
get to that later also. Oh. But actually, that's a good point you just said about becoming more involved with the character. I kind of took that with The Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, because that's more of a personal movie, and you have to kind of be invested in that character to
go that deep in the mythos that's not popular.
So I would think that around that time he was full in, like full tilt into this whole franchise, this character, everything. Because by then he was Wolverine. Like everybody by then he was already well known as Wolverine. So, but yeah, this is definitely I'm gonna second you on that. This is a nice one song for him in this movie, and we also had a return of Patrick Stewart as Professor X. Which,
Uncle Chuck.
Yeah.
We all have that uncle who's like, nah, he's crazy. It's Uncle Chuck. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Don't take it too personal.
The first time I watched this movie, I wasn't too sure what to think about his portrayal of Xavier.
Like dementia almost?
Yeah.
Like all the voices in his head finally started fucking with him?
Yeah. Like something about it just like, just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But, like seeing it again the second time, like now that I know the full story of what happened, it kind of lit a little bit better for me to figure out see what's going on, but it was just weird to see him like that in that state, you know. Do you want to go ahead and talk about the event or whatever that led to where they're at right now, that was talked about but not really seen in this movie? Because this movie, it's all about, really, about Xavier and what he did.
Go for it.
And I didn't catch it the first time, because it was very, like, if you weren't paying attention, you missed it, because it was, like, on the radio background noise or the TVs. But this movie takes place 1 year after Professor Xavier went crazy, had some kind of mental thing, and he basically, that same seizure that they did at the casino, that's happened a year ago, and it wiped, like, several are injured, but it said they wiped out, like, 70 mutants or something like that, before Wolverine turns off the radio. Like, he, not to hear. Wow. That's when they're driving away from the casino. So, I missed it. Yeah, I missed it.
I missed it both times, to be honest. That's, like, you're teaching it to me now. He's new to me now.
That, well, that's one of the things that was really like a con. Like, I have pros and cons of this movie. This is more of one of the cons of this movie was I kind of wish there was more
detail. Like, details. That's not something that you should have in the distance. That's something that there should have been, like, a two-minute conversation where, like, in the beginning where Logan's bringing Xavier the meds and he's like, why am I locked up in here? He's like, you remember you killed 70% of the mutant population?
Yeah.
Is, just something like that for you to understand from the beginning, all right, this is why they're running. Because, like, I've watched the movie twice and I just now got it that you that you told me.
Well, and it's one of those things where if you weren't reading internet's sites or anything or trying to follow up on a story or anything, you just want, if you're just a casual moviegoer and you watch the movies,
you're gonna miss it.
You're gonna miss it. Yeah. And it's like the Wolverine before this, the third movie in a Wolverine trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. Just the Wolverine movies.
Do we have to count Origins? Ugh.
Yeah, a lot happens in that movie, actually. But because X-Men, I mean, the Wolverine takes place, what, 6 months or a year after Last Stand, after he kills Jean Grey. And this movie, I don't know. I know it takes place a year after that event, but I don't know how long that event is from X-Men. I mean, the Wolverine. Yeah. And then we get into the timeline issues of Days of Future Past, which, again, there was a scene, the first scene between Xavier and Logan, where Xavier's going off about how we first met you, you're fighting in cage matches, and then Statue of Liberty, blah, 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 which references X-Men 1. But did that really happen?
Yeah.
Because of Days of Future Past, you know? I guess technically you could say that after Apocalypse happened, you know, they when they bumped into him in the facility and they let him loose.
Yeah.
Technically, I guess that could have still happened all the same.
Because Days of Future Past, they went back in time to like the 70s.
Right.
Late 60s, early 70s. No, actually, it was early 70s because, because apparently Magneto was saving JFK and JFK got shot in 69. I want to say 67 or 69.
Right.
67. JFK got shot in 67.
Magneto. You're painting yourself in the corner.
Magneto was saving JFK because he's a mutant also.
Right.
So if that happened in the 70s and then Apocalypse happened in the 80s?
Because he killed Kennedy. That's what Magneto did.
Yeah, but we're past that. So so Days of Future Past was in the 70s, and then Apocalypse was in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And apparently rumored the next X-Men movie is supposed to be somewhere in the 90s with the Phoenix Saga. The part that I was missing, again, people that are continuous with the X-Men story, whether Days of Future Past erased the timeline or not.
Right.
For all the nightmares that Logan was having, not once did he mention Jean Grey's name.
Right. Well, yeah. But then again, I think there was...
And he even mentions, towards the climax of the movie, he's like, yeah, this isn't going to work. It goes to shit to people that I care about.
Right.
You know, but there wasn't any specific mention of the people that he's
caring about. Just implied. I think you just kind of had... You can use your own imagination on that one. I didn't mind that one. I know what you're talking about. Mm. But, yeah. And I guess a lot of this is just due to, you know, going back to what I was saying about the timeline issues and the what Xavier did and things like that.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, like, to keep the flow of the movie going, I guess. That's the only thing I can think of. I would love to see an uncut version of this.
Yeah.
Even longer, more explanations of filling the dots. But, I mean, you can, I guess, again, if you just want to use your imagination and you just kind of go with it and... But it's one of those things where we've seen so much in these movies, you know, let's show everything, you know, why hide all that? But that was the one thing I just wanted to mention about Xavier. And then, of course, this is, again, the final for a lot of things in this movie. Patrick Stewart, his last performance so far, I think he said he retired, he's retired from that character. But yeah, he gets killed in this movie.
We've gone 25 minutes without talking about the show stealer of this movie.
I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, he dies. Uh-huh. But one of the things that he did was he was feeling a connection with a new mutant that Logan thought he was crazy because he thought he's this
hero. It's part of the meds.
Yeah. But no, there is a new mutant here, and he gets wrangled into a situation.
Somebody else's shit.
Again. Yeah, exactly.
It's always somebody else's shit.
Yeah. And rightfully so, he's pissed off about the whole situation. But we're introduced to a little girl named Laura in this movie. We all know she's, I don't think we need to hide it, she's X-23.
Mm-hmm. Played by Daphne Keene.
Introducing Daphne Keene, which, that was one thing, like, when me and my wife were watching and we were walking out, we both, man, that little girl did a fantastic job. Like, I'm sure most of it was just based on the character that she was playing and the way she was, for a little 10-year-old girl, the
stunts, the choreography,
the eyes, the expressions that she had,
that resting bitch face at 10 years old. Damn, she's gonna grow up to be an evil motherfucker.
Well, even then, she didn't talk for 3/4 of the movie, and then when she starts talking
in Spanish,
I was like, oh, please stop talking again.
Spanish is a very, for people that don't understand, Spanish is a very bipolar language. When you say it calmly, it's one of the most romantic languages you can ever hear. But if you say the exact same words with some, dude, you sound like you're going to fuck somebody up when you're talking in Spanish with that aggravation. And that's exactly what Laura Keene was doing for the most part.
Can you give us some examples?
Dude, when she finally started talking in the Bronco and Logan's like, the fuck, you can talk? What was this for 2,000 miles? It's like, take me here. And she started body calling all these names. And Jackman's like, no. So she punches him in the face. What the? Dang.
Right then and there, I was like, I liked her like 10 minutes ago. I don't like her as much anymore.
Oh, man.
But yeah, she stole the movie for me. And again, part of that was her. Part of that was the character that she was playing. Her introduction... even before she comes out there holding the damn head of the dude she just killed and throws it out in the middle of the battlefield over here. Even before that, she's eating her cornflakes, you know, just watching.
Like, I got time.
Watching the monitor and just eating the cornflakes, and then the dudes come in and we don't see anything. We just hear a lot of yelling and gunshots going off. And then this is the clip we saw from the trailer when she just kind of walks out, throws her backpack down, and then we see the claws for the first time coming out. And Wolverine's reaction to that. Like, holy shit.
It's like, I got to keep better track of who I'm sleeping with.
Yeah, right. So they pulled X-23 perfectly from the comics, I thought. Well, not even from the comics, from the cartoon that she debuted on. She debuted on X-Men Evolution, the cartoon.
Even then, this version, I think, is even more... I don't want to say recognizable, but it's more distinctive to the movie because she had the Spanish accent. English wasn't her first language because the person that was taking care of her was a Hispanic from Mexico that was trying to show her humanity, and it was in Spanish. And I don't think we've had that interpretation before, whether it's been in the comics or
in the cartoon. I could be wrong, but as far as I know, she's always...
Everything goes down in Mexico. Y'all just have no idea.
Apparently. Well, let's get into it. That's what was going on over Mexico. The end of X-Men Apocalypse, there is a post-credit scene of some guys walking into the lab, and they went in, they stole...
They were teasing Mr. Sinister, right?
Yes, and that is another con I have right here.
It's like it went completely off.
And I mean, I get it for the tone of the movie. They wanted more grounded plot, I guess. And Mr. Sinister, and if you know who Mr. Sinister is, he's not very grounded at all as far as reality-based.
He never kills Logan ever, does he?
No, and he's not really... He was always into genetics. Like, that's his thing. But he always focused on the Summers family. Scott and Jean and Cable and Havoc. He's always, for whatever reason, he always focused on that family in the comics. So he never really interacted with Wolverine that much in the comic books. But it was just something when... You see that he always, in the comics, he always goes by Essex. That was his last name that he used. That's the human name he had before Sinister. And when he saw that in the briefcase, Essex Corporation or whatever it's called, I was like, oh, okay, cool. They're going to do Sinister. And that was one character I know a lot of people wanted to kind of see in live action. And I thought we were going to finally get that. But in this one, the villain was just a doctor. Yeah. You know, it was a scientist. And which turned out he was the son of the guy that put the adamantium on Wolverine originally.
Yeah.
Which was a nice little exchange when he told him that. He's like, yeah, I think I killed him. It's like, yeah, I think he did kill him.
Would that have been fixed in another 30 seconds where it's like Teradyne, a subdivision of the SX Corp? Would that have done it for you just to like tie off that loose end?
A little bit.
Of the trailer?
That would have been nice. Yeah.
You know, because even though it wasn't the same company, it was the same, this is where we're going with the scientific.
We're taking genetics, his blood, we're taking his DNA, and we're doing something with it. That was the whole premise of Logan. Mm-hmm. And we got quite a bit of a good telling of what happened with the little iPhone recap, I guess.
A Sony phone.
Oh, was it a Sony?
Yeah. Oh. I noticed it because the battery died very quickly.
Well played. So, yeah, we get the whole thing of all these kids, not just X-23, but all these kids.
They were all X-23. X-23, chapter 41.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
X-23, chapter 16. X-23, chapter... Oh, hey, she's the 23rd one. Okay, so it's X-23 cubed, I guess. I don't know.
This when you go cross-eyed. Yeah.
So for all the kids and all the heroes that are being made, well, that are supposed to be made soldiers, what'd you think of the Reavers addition to the story?
I liked it. Once I found out that was Donald Pierce as the side villain,
he looks like a guy that I would see on an episode of Sons of Anarchy. Is that where he's from?
No. Boyd Kirkland, I think that's his name. I could be wrong on that. But what I thought he was trying to channel a little bit was a little bit of Walton Goggins, which he played on Sons of Anarchy, but he also was on Hateful Eight. But there's a little bit of cadence in his voice, the way he was talking, the accent he was using. I got a vibe.
That Texas accent?
Yeah, I got a little vibe of Walt Goggins on that one. But something about that, he was interesting. I liked his performance in the movie. I love the fact that they called, because when I saw him, I always knew Donald Pierce, besides being part of the Hellfire Club, he was also part of the Reavers. And when I saw his other soldiers with him, and they had cybernetics and everything too, I was like, oh, they're the Reavers. I wasn't expecting them to actually call them that. And they did later on.
Because it was a classic throw, because I do have this. It's on season 3 of the X-Men animated series, and it's the first episode is the Reavers. They find this, like, spaceship, and they use the adamantium from Lady Deathstrike that can actually, like, damage it. So when I noticed the Reavers the first time I saw it, I was like, that sounds familiar. And then I went back and I started watching the cartoons on a weekend off, and I was like, that's where it looks from. And they did a pretty decent job. I mean, you're missing a guy in the cart with the, like,
the tank,
But you can't get all that shit can't look realistic.
It wouldn't look right.
So for the parts that they did take,
although,
they came out really well.
There was an explosion with some grenades. They bring it back. They could have a half tank. Anyway, but mentioning the Reavers, that was cool. And that was pretty legit from translation from the comics, because they are mercenaries.
Yeah.
Lady Deathstrike hired them in the comics. That's what it was. They're just mercenaries. And so that was a nice nod to the comic source material. Mm-hmm. One other semi-main character in this movie was Caliban, played by Stephen Merchant. Now, me, personally, I like Stephen Merchant as an actor. He did the UK version of The Office and some other stuff. Really well-known actor in the UK. But funny dude. Really funny actor. I couldn't buy into his character, his personification of Caliban. Now, one of the reasons for that is because Caliban was also in Apocalypse. A different actor played him. And he actually got more of his characterizations right from the comics. He talked in third person, Caliban this, Caliban that. He was the one that gave information to Apocalypse, Storm, and all them, and told them where to go to find him.
Oh, okay.
Caliban, you know, he always talks like that. It's soft spoken. But stupid thing is, I found out afterwards, the reason why they didn't get the same people to get that guy to play him again is because there's no communication. Like, when they're making Apocalypse, same studio, Fox.
Oh, no.
They didn't know, like, the people, when they were making Logan at the same time, they didn't know that they were making the same character. Just miscommunication. That's all it is. And there's your problem, Fox. There's your problem.
Yeah, but at the same time, that movie's like the timeline's apparently 45 years different.
Right, yeah.
So would it make sense to have the same guy?
No, and that's forgivable on that. But I'm more or less talking about the characterization itself. Like, to me, it just felt like Stephen Merchant in white makeup. Talking,
and I didn't get that feeling.
It wasn't like
it had his accent.
It didn't. Yeah, I didn't.
It
feel...
had his way of talking. It wasn't anything that, like, if you had your eyes closed and you were just listening, you could tell it was him.
Why was this albino British dude in Mexico? You know, like, it didn't. Yeah. I don't know. It just took me out for a minute. But he went out with a bang. You know,
what?
The grenade in the truck.
Yeah.
But at least they kept his powers right. He being a tracker and everything. So that's that. So, yeah, we talked about Daphne Keene as X-23. There's only one bit of bittersweetness to this whole thing, and this goes back to the timeline issues. Okay. As good as she was in this movie, where do they go? You know, what else is there for her to do?
I wouldn't say this as a complaint, but more as like a question mark also from your end, because it felt like two or three different movies put together. Okay. Like I said in the beginning, holy crap, it's the episode of the Reavers from X-Men the Animated Series. They're going to go find a ship. Wait, where? There's nothing. Okay. So their Wolverine finds X-23. So it's like freaking, I don't even know what to relate that to. But then we get to the end and they find out the kid's like, oh great, now it's Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh, but wait, he's dead. Okay. So, now what?
Yeah.
So I'm like in that same spot as you were. Do you wait a couple of years for Daphne to grow up and have her find Logan's old Wolverine costume and don it and actually finally get to see somebody behind it?
And it's kind of a problem, really, because that's a problem, not for her, I shouldn't say, but anytime you hire a kid actor, there's going to be growth spurts, there's going to be different things. They grow faster than adults. Once you're an adult, you kind of level out.
Do we see her in a new episode of Legion, maybe?
No.
Does she cross? Where does she cross over? Like, is there room for her to cross over to anything?
They can't, because of this timeline. Like, this takes place after everything. Like, 70% of the mutants are dead. Professor X is dead. Let's talk about it. Wolverine. During the middle of this movie, we talked about Professor X dying. We didn't talk about how he died.
Oh, that's a timeline issue for me.
Yeah, so...
You know, we All right, just because you reboot the timeline from Days of Future Past and we're starting over from scratch, Fox, that does not give you the right to give us another shitty villain. You know, they did not learn their lesson from X-Men Origins, where they gave us a horrible carbon copy of Deadpool as Weapon 11. No, they gave us X-24, which was basically a younger, hairlesser Hugh Jackman.
Didn't really look younger. It was just Hugh Jackman.
Well, he looked younger because he was trimmed and he was bald, and you know, when you have all the, and he didn't have gray.
Yeah.
So when you've got a thing full of gray like this, and you got another guy clean shaven with like Just for Men all over his head, then
he had dark hair. He didn't have gray hair.
Yeah,
so
he was younger.
But
that kind of was a bit underwhelming. That instead of having a different villain that can step up in the story, that you would go back, and you're already doing the clones with X-23.
Right.
You would go back in the well and do something like that. It kind of turned me off.
You know where I thought they were going, and I kind of wish they did. That whole scene when Xavier is just talking about this is the perfect night, this and that. First of all, I knew he's about to die.
Oh yeah, we've been through 7 seasons of The Walking Dead. When somebody's appreciating something, they're gone.
Yeah. So when we see the shadowy figure, and it kind of looks out like Hugh Jackman when we get the reveal and he like pops the claws in his chest. Before I realized it was Hugh Jackman, like a clone of Hugh Jackman, I thought they were going the route of Dagon, which is Wolverine's son in the comics. He's just another, I mean, it's Wolverine's son, legit.
Yeah.
So, I was kind of disappointed when I realized this is a clone of Wolverine, but I get it. I mean, it's just, since they had his genetics clones, hello, so they're going to do that. But this was like an all rage. They're able to just program rage into this new
Sounds game. Like they've done that before.
Yeah.
when they typed in on Weapon 11, the dude. Enable, engage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's part that reminded me. Is like, yeah, this movie was, that's probably my biggest flaw of this entire movie is that, man, the last thing you want to do when a movie's that good is remind me of the movie that was that bad. Well, and they kind of did now, in hindsight, after watching it twice.
Yeah. Well, and I see what you're saying on that. Yeah, but I didn't get that vibe. But now that you tell me that, I'm like, oh, yeah, because I shut that part out of my brain. Yeah. I try to forget about that.
That's another situation where it's just 30 seconds of the doctor in the truck saying, oh, all right, Doc, and do your work. You know, if they just gave him that name, then it could have been easy to just be like, oh, okay.
Taken, yeah.
We can make it good. We can make it work.
And that would have been a cool nod to the comics. That would have been a cool, because if they're calling X-23 his daughter, then they could easily just said he's the son.
And you can, and that's an easy rivalry to build off the new franchise, X-23 and the New Mutants against Daken.
Yeah, which I like Daken in the comics. There was a comic series called Dark Reign, in Marvel a few years ago, and that one where like villains pose as heroes. It was really cool. Bullseye posed as Hawkeye. We had a Norman Osborn as Iron Man. We had Daken as Wolverine. Like different things like that. Mm-hmm. We had the villains being the heroes and
Deadpool being Deadpool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, funny how that works out, right? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that would have been a nice introduction to him. But and he is cool because he had two claws up here and one on this side. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
I love the explanation Professor X gave about Laura's claws.
Yes.
Like the mama lion, she has the two claws in the front for fighting, and then she has for hunting, and then she has the one claw
for defense,
for defensive on her feet.
And that is from the comics. They pull that. That's she's in the comics X-23. So that was the one thing that made her different, special was they had the one claw on the foot and the two in the
hand. And that just made the fight scenes even better. Yes. She like did the kick and lift her foot up and got the dude right in the jugular. It's like,
I know we already talked about it, but fuck, I'll talk about some more. Those fight scenes with X-23 and even in Wolverine himself, like both of them.
That was the closest to a Berserker Barrage from Marvel vs. Capcom I've ever seen from Wolverine in that final scene where they're in the woods and he's just running. Just like, it didn't have to be one person, but he just was like full out. I was like, God!
And the cool thing about that is when he caught up with X-23, we got a team up. You know,
He ran up. She ran up on his back and jumped off and dove in for the tornado claw, kind of. You know,
that'd be funny if he said tornado claw.
I'm just waiting for. Come on, guys. Come on, Marvel. Give it to me once. One Marvel character screaming out a Marvel move. Like, come on, just give me Iron Man once going proton cannon and just like shooting some shit out of somebody. You know,
give him time. They'll do it. Get a petition going or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but the fight scenes in this movie with X-23 and Wolverine were just off the charts. And even then, they were violent and everything, but they didn't really need to be because the choreography was so good on just them, the way she was jumping around and this and that. It was just it was entertaining. That's what it was, and it made for just you couldn't take your eyes off the screen. Yeah. You know, it's just a lot of blood too, and there's
sponsored by the Red Cross,
right? And there was a scene with Wolverine. I think it was the scene in the casino when he was having a seizure, when Professor X was having a seizure, and he was slowly like killing all the bad guys. This was cleaned as
and they were on the same page because Laura was also was crawling because she also knew what was going on. She was crawling to get the medicine when she grabbed it, she passed it to Logan, and Logan just finished it off before it got any worse.
Yeah. And which I questioned at the second, like I was, like how'd she know about the needle? Because he just threw her the medicine, the pills, and said, "Give him an hour."
But then she's talking with Professor X.
That's true. Yeah, he could have told her. So
yeah.
But yeah, those slow motion like kill shots through the head, a lot of headshots in this movie. Decapitations.
Yeah.
Oh man, was there anything that stood out for you as far as that goes?
It would have to be the final fight team where they went in tandem.
Yeah.
Now that they're both that Wolverine's like, he took all the medicine where you're only supposed to take little bits at a time so you don't go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He took the whole thing and he was at 100, And
that was almost laughable.
And X-23 was at 100. It's like, holy crap, these two at full strength. I was expecting them to wipe out the damn.
I remember the opening when I went to go watch it, and when you hear him like yelling after he took the shot, and he's like, ah, he's like yelling.
It reminded me of Crank. You remember the movie Crank where Jason Statham was falling asleep? So he took that epinephrine and he took the shot. He's like running naked down the street going, with that. He's like pitching a tent the entire time running. That's what it reminded me. I was like, oh shit, here we go. Hugh Jackman in Crank.
But I remember a lot of people laughing just because it was funny. He's like seeing him just running. I don't know. But one more thing before we wrap this up is the New Mutants at the end. That was a thing because, like we said before, she wasn't just the only one that got away. It was all the basically all the kids that got away, and they were going to this place called Eden. Which, okay, you know, before we get into New Mutants, the X-Men comic book. All right,
that's fun.
We talked about the timeline diversion out from Days of Future Past, and we got an alternate timeline. Something needs to go back and be said about how the X-Men became
a comic book.
Like people, because in the
people
past,
people are aware that hey, because the timeline's gone. Yet everybody's aware that the X-Men have happened, and they must have happened a big deal because they got a fucking book.
Because because in X2 and X-Men Last Stand, unless I'm forgetting something, they weren't known like to the public in the movie verse. So I don't know how they. Would be it felt forced, like it felt like just a gag to put in the movie.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's based on a comic. You know, did it feel off to you for some reason?
I didn't read too much into it. What I did like was the fact that all the kids' plans was based on the comic, where it's in the book, the coordinates for North Dakota, and Logan's like, this piece of shit, this isn't real. Yeah. It's a fucking book. Yeah. That's what they wanted you to think,
right.
So that if the Reavers saw this book, it was like, that's a book, you know, but that's really the secret spot. And when Logan realizing is like,
and then he passes out.
Yeah.
But I thought that was, I know you mentioned it before about it, towards the end, it kind of almost felt like Wolverine and the X-Men were like, is he going to lead these young kids? But and we got a little sense of their using their powers and everything, but I don't know. It was just a weird scene, like them running and all the soldiers chasing after them. Why aren't they just they're okay? If I'm mistaken, the bad guys were just trying to kill the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why were they shooting them?
Oh, they were trying to capture them.
Were they trying to capture them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were trying to make sure they didn't get to the border so they wouldn't be escaped. Like apparently there's a fence or something around the border.
Yeah.
Fences,
walls.
Yeah.
Borders.
Thanks a lot, Trump.
Yeah. Oh, by the
$15 billion.
By the way, I think I don't know if you heard me, but I turned to you. I leaned in and when he was in the limo and they're escaping in Mexico and he hits the fence and he couldn't push back the fence. I said, "Who needs a fucking wall?" 80 miles an hour on in a Chrysler and you can't bust that fence. That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Oh man.
But yeah, we got a sense of the kids using their powers at the end. I thought it was kind of weird. Again, going back to the rated R-ness of this movie, the violence and everything. Like now, all their powers have become deadly.
Yeah.
You know, this kid, you know, this guy puts his arm around the girl.
Oh, she blows her. She blows the cold and freezes
and just, like, shatters his arm. Like he couldn't just like boom, you know, or whatever, you know, let go. And then the one girl picks up all the splinters in the wood and everything, and is like.
Yeah.
Whenever he exploded, I was waiting to hear fatality. You know, that's what I was waiting to hear after that. I was like, God, what is this, Mortal Kombat?
I had Superman versus the Elite in my head during that segment where I thought what she was doing was making a hurricane or something to cut off his circulation and die that way, not just like stab him with every single twig that was within a 5-mile radius and then just blow him up.
Yeah.
But that was still cool.
It was cool. But then again, after second viewing, I was like, like,
this is why I don't want kids. They're going to kill me.
Touche. So we got that. And then, the Rage, X-24, comes back. And a final fight between him and Logan. And Logan gets his ass whooped. Gets impaled pretty much by a tree branch. You know,
which X-24 learned on its own because that's how he lost the first battle.
Right.
It's like, this is what it's going to take to beat him. All right, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I did it.
And one thing, when he was when she took him to the vet before we get to that, and he's like on the table, and we see that's a gnarly gash in his whole the chest.
That's good makeup work. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was gnarly, man. Oof, that was nasty. So anyway, and I kind of wondered that, I was wondering in the back of my mind, did he ever heal from that? Like,
well, he had to once he took all that medicine. He restored himself to 100.
I assume the 2 days that he was sleeping, I assume that's when all that healed up.
Yeah.
But damn, that was sick looking shit.
All right, I'm gonna just tell you straight out.
All right,
what's the biggest tearjerker of the movie?
Oh, that final scene between Logan and Laura.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, chopping onions, man. It's like fuckers. I think what got me when she says she doesn't say Papa, she says Dada, right?
She says Dad.
Daddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the feels.
They got the last nail in the coffin was in the burial scene where she turns the cross into an X. I was like, ah, that's what the first time I saw it, this movie, I was fighting it the entire time.
Yeah.
I was fighting it the entire time, and I didn't break, you know. And I didn't go to that movie alone. I had a date, and I was like, I can't do this in front of this girl. So I'm like holding it in, and then when she turned that's all she did. She just turned the cross into the X, and I was like, oh!
They got you
gone, gone, dude. Sure enough, she didn't call me for the next date, so I figured, God damn, Marvel, shit!
Well, I guess I answered my question. Was she crying? Did she have tears or anything?
I don't know. I couldn't see! My eyes were all red and watery.
You're like, leave me alone. I need a minute. Leave me alone.
I'll take a ride home. I'll Uber. Yeah, man, that was the breaking point. God damn. That whole last, 5 minutes. And then she gave the speech from Shane.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
God damn. Like, my old man is, 65 years old. He would have loved this movie as much as I would for all the all the old school references of, this felt damn near without... It felt like a Western without horses, almost.
It almost is, really.
Yeah.
Because, well, before this movie came out, they said it was Old Man Logan, pretty much. Yeah. And
if you're into old school, for anybody that's above our age bracket, if you're into old John Wayne movies...
You're not listening to this episode.
They're not listening. Yeah, they don't know how to function podcasts. But spread the word. Your old man will like it. If he's a John Wayne mark, he's going to like this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, being similar to Old Man Logan is being inspired by the story... That's set out in post-apocalyptic future, which kind of threw me off from this because I thought it was still going to be like that in this one, but it's really not. It's just a world without mutants, pretty much, a few years later, because the world's still going on. Everything's still normal. Same, to the point where it threw me off whenever they're driving on the road and those robotic trucks are driving by, and it's like, what the fuck is this? What kind of trucks are those? And I was like... Oh, yeah. It's
2029.
Yeah, it's
we're getting there.
A few years in the future. So, in a few years.
I was just waiting for Tesla stickers on the side and Elon Musk's face on the back.
Right? Yeah. We're getting there, right? But that last scene. Fuck. So well done. Yeah.
When your words of describing the scene involve ugh and woof and ugh sound effects instead of actual words, yeah, they got us.
Yeah. That scene. Well, his final words was he kind of. Almost smiles a little bit, and he says, so, that's what it feels like. Oh! You got me. You got me right there. Ugh. Because going back to the history of that character, that line, he can never find peace. He's never, he always stayed away from people he cared about because people end up either, because he lives longer, he's seen people die and things like that. People get hurt around him. This is the first time he's been on the other side of the coin, and he saw someone carrying,
and he's leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn you!
That's a hell of a way to. And it's funny that we have that problem because this is supposed to be the last Wolverine movie, but there's a lot of potential for this story to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm curious to see where they go with this.
Yeah, and that's kind of the bittersweetness of this whole thing. Because they had such a good starting point with X-23.
Do Cable and Deadpool travel through time and get X-23 and Domino? X-23, Domino, Cable, and Deadpool.
I don't have that much faith in Fox to do anything like that.
But it's Ryan Reynolds' baby.
But Wolverine isn't.
It's not Wolverine, it's Laura.
Like I said, I don't have that much faith in Fox to be able to do pull something like that off. Although I know Hugh Jackman has said he's on record that's the last time he's playing Wolverine.
And Ryan Reynolds has been on record. He's been on multiple records, both sides of the vinyl, saying, "Hey, I want Hugh Jackman for one more movie."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For his movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I would be okay with that. One last cameo or one last something. Yeah. You know. That wasn't so. Ugh. Yeah. give us a high note. You know.
Yeah.
Which this wasn't not a high note. I'm just saying, give us something that.
Not that we're complaining he's dead, because the movie was bananas.
Yeah.
However, he still got more to give.
I blame Seinfeld.
Give it to us.
I blame Seinfeld because Hugh Jackman's gone on record on an interview and say that Seinfeld gave him the idea to go out on top. Leave him wanting more.
Oh, motherfucker.
But we'll see. You know, now we can say, okay, that's your biggest selling point for the X-Men franchise was Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, right? Where do you go from here? Where do you go? I mean, in timeline continuity, you killed off the X-Men. They're dead. Wolverine is dead. Professor X is dead. Do you just do whatever the next X-Men First Class movies are going to be? With Sansa and all of them as what we saw in Apocalypse in the 90s? Do we just continue that?
Well, but they have to because they're doing it. They're working on it now.
Yeah.
But this... First Class was really good for what it was.
Right.
Days of Future Past, for the most part, was as good, maybe a little better, mm-hmm. depending. Apocalypse went, eh. And then after Apocalypse, you had Deadpool. And almost up there right now, in our minds, Logan. Okay. So what does the First Class team do to at least elevate from where Apocalypse left them?
They are going to have to start incorporating more stuff, be more true to the comic source. That has been the one plague for me and a lot of people as far as what Fox has been doing to these X-Men movies. You're just bringing in random characters and substituting who they should be from what we know in the comics. And yeah, they're successful movies, but how more successful could they be?
Done right.
And look what it with Deadpool.
Yeah.
They got it right. What they do with Colossus?
They're actually going back to the well. Hopefully they get it the second time around. The rumor has it this next First Class movie is about the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Even if they get that right, would that be a step up from
But they're not going to be able Deadpool? To do it right because Dark Phoenix saga, that's in outer space, my man. That's all outer space. That's all Shi'ar Empire. That's fighting for a galactic supreme. It's out there. It's way out there. Phoenix itself is a cosmic force, but in the movieverse, it's always been something that's been inside her. It's
yeah, like her powers. Alter ego.
Yeah. So right there, they've already. Mm-hmm. It's like they're repeating X2 and X-Men Last Stand. Like, why even go that route again? If you're just gonna repeat the same thing you did the first time, why even do it? Okay. So when they're telling me that the next movie is probably gonna be focused on Dark Phoenix, I'm like, ugh. Okay, I guess. But what are you going to do?
Since you mentioned it, if there was one story left that you would want to see Hugh Jackman in,
oof,
which one would it be?
Man, there's so many. Just him solo or with an X-Men, like a big X-Men movie?
Take your pick. Because I have mine in the back of my head already.
Hmm.
Because I've, again, I'm not a huge comic guy. I'm more of the animated story. And I would have loved, and as much as I would love to see Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman as Deadpool and Wolverine, because I've been reading some of those books lately, I would love to have seen a buddy film bringing back Morph.
Okay.
And that's what I was hoping when they did the tease for Mr. Sinister. that Mr. Sinister is the one that actually has Morph and is like fucking with him, and that's what the I was hoping.
Oh,
that's
yeah, high expectations.
Oh, I kind of did. Yeah.
No. I kind of did. That wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, no. but if you're going by well-known characters, anybody that's watched that animated series, half of Wolverine's struggle is trying to find Morph, and then even in that series he finds Morph, but he's not the same upstairs, right, to the point where he had to leave again. And if you're talking about a story that could pull the heartstrings if it's done right, which obviously it's possible because Logan, for the most part, it tugged us everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, that would have been a cool story, Wolverine and Morph.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, as far as, it's not so much a story I'd like to see them do, but I would, this kind of goes back into something, going back to the impossible as of right now, is throwing him into the Marvel Studios universe. And just because there's so many good stories that you could do, you could play him off so well against all those other characters. I'd love to see him versus Hulk, cinematically done. You know, that
have you read the have you seen the pictures of what Marvel's doing, their next like big crossover? Some laboratory is doing a cross between Hulk and Wolverine with putting adamantium inside Bruce Banner.
Yeah, because that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
The
visual, the like silhouette of Hulk with like adamantium claws coming out, like, oh.
Dude, I'm like, honestly, I've just been so done with Marvel like these past like year or so. 2 years.
What, in book form or movie?
Yeah.
Well, book form.
Yeah, just because they've lost me as a fan. Like, first of all, they killed off the X-Men in the comics and they killed off Wolverine. Wolverine's been dead for like 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, they brought back Old Man Logan from another timeline.
Right.
And then
plopped him into the current.
Yeah, and then they have X-23, now the new Wolverine.
But it's just one of those things where they're trying to be so inclusive and such social justice warriors and trying to appease
every... Hey, it's 2017, we need to have girl heroes. Oh wait, you can't make up your own, you have to refill them. We have a girl for
things like that. Wolverine.
Now apparently Iron Man is a chick, like a high school kid is now driving the Iron Man armor.
So it's just things like that where it's just it just feels like all the stuff they've been doing lately just feels forced.
Oddly enough, X-23 in this movie didn't.
No.
I think this is the first good direction where, like, for example, for all the flaws of Batman vs. Superman, they made me want to spend money to buy a Wonder Woman ticket.
Right.
Fox did a good job of making me want to spend money on an X-23 movie if they were to make it. That's how much equity they've given that I've gotten the benefit of the doubt to at least see where they go with it from there.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to just make things happen just for PC sake.
Yeah.
With everything.
And I agree. And that goes back to what I was saying. The timeline placement of this movie, did they paint themselves in a corner? Because you can't really do anything with X-23 now.
Would you have been pissed if this was all just a dream sequence?
Or an alternate timeline?
Yeah.
Like the last three movies. All right. So... but yeah, that's our review of Logan. But before we wrap up, I wanted to since this is the final Hugh Jackman Wolverine performance, I thought it'd be kind of fun for us to do a countdown of our top five Hugh Jackman Wolverine moments.
We should have done top three since he only has three claws, but we could do five.
Nice round number.
Yeah.
So
we talked about this pre-tape. I forgot to do this, so I did it within like 20 minutes before we started recording. Apparently, all of my favorite moments are quotes. Most of his favorite moments are scenes.
And we didn't discuss this. We don't.
So we're going to start with number five for me, which is one you just mentioned earlier, was when Wolverine was telling Laura, so this is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the beginning of the gut punch, like right in the... like right in the processor that does the feels for me, like right here in this like pacemaker deal. It's like, oh.
So that's your number five?
Yeah.
Alright. So for me, and again, I try to keep these in descending order, like five's not the most important one. But then again,
I'm just gonna go random.
Yeah, it's what it kind of is for me. But the first one I have, number five, is from X-Men, the first X-Men movie. The bar scene when we first, for the first time, we see the claws pop.
Oh, he breaks the shotgun.
Yes.
And he's like this.
Yeah. Minus the belly button. And then we see, like, the from the camera perspective, we see the claw coming out of the knuckle.
Yeah.
For being the first time live-action movie...
And the effects in 2000 weren't that awesome as opposed to the effects now.
No, but still.
But they pulled it off.
It got the job done. And, man, being a comic book fan, X-Men fan, that was cool to see.
All right, I'm going to match you that. If you're going X-Men 1, a lot of the quotes, I feel like they kind of resonate somehow with me a little bit. And they also give value to the characters because at the end, you want to build value in the characters you have on the movie. Mm-hmm. They're in Rogue... Wolverine saves Rogue. Right. They're both in the truck. Rogue sneaks into the truck. Wolverine finds her. They sit inside. And she asks him, hey, does it hurt? And he tells her, every time.
Oh, he looks at him for a second?
She looks at his knuckles while he's driving the steering wheel. And he's like, does it hurt? And he's like, he rubs his hands, like, every time.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, that's badass. That a dude that's, like, fighting in the cage and is unbeatable,
mm-hmm.
he knows he's flawed. Yeah. You know, and he still, even though he heals, he still has to feel pain.
It gave you some depth to the
character.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
All right. That's fair. That's a good one. All right. For my number four, from X-Men Origins, Wolverine, there's actually something from that movie. And the only reason I'm picking it is because I think it became probably one of the most iconic images that we got of Wolverine throughout the whole thing. Is him getting the claws for getting the adamantium put him and him popping out of that tank, looking ripped as fuck, like veins, like looking like a
growling, screaming, growling, like he's gonna eat you alive.
Yeah, if you see that clip, you know what I'm talking about. It's just going crazy. But I just thought that as far as him as Wolverine cinematically, you got to put that in there somewhere. So
I'm gonna match you again with Origins. Here's on my list, but you might not know it. That movie, for what I know, had two bonus scenes.
Okay.
One that everybody saw in the theater was where, like, the blade comes back into Deadpool's hand,
mm-hmm.
and his head rolls back to his face, and he comes back together, and he goes, shh.
Oh, the post-credit scene.
Yeah, that's one of the post-credit scenes. The other one is with Wolverine sitting at a bar, and he takes his shot, puts the glass down, bartender walks up, pours him another shot, and she tells him, you're drinking to forget? And he tells her, nah, I'm drinking to remember.
Ah, okay.
That's I'm getting it now, just like remembering those words, dude. As somebody that like writes for a living, not for a living, but on spare time, I like, dude, it hit me.
Was that supposed to be a setup to the Wolverine, him going back to Japan?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
What you got down there?
All right. So my next one, this is probably this is a quote, right? But it's from his cameo in X-Men First Class. Then finding him in the bar, go fuck yourselves. go fuck yourself. That was the line. It got a big laugh just like that in the theater. It was unexpected because no one knew he was going to be in the movie. It was a nice little nod, the fact that they did go out to reach out to him, and he just told him to go fuck yourself. So that's my number three right there.
Oh, man. Okay. Here's a Days of Future Past.
Okay.
Where they're having the argument, they're having the fight scene in the airplane, and then after it was all over, Wolverine looks at young Magneto and he goes, "Ah, so you were always an asshole."
Yeah.
For somebody that's been watching the movies from the very beginning, that holds a lot of weight.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good one. Yeah. I forgot about that one. All right. Number two on my list is from X2. The only real fight scene in the whole movie, really, is the mansion being under attack.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Iceman are chilling in the kitchen. You know, he freezes a beer for him, or soda.
That was Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper. Right. Yeah. And then his senses start going off, you know, and then the soldiers start busting in, start taking the children, and he just... That was the first, and cinematically, that was the first time we saw him actually stab a villain. And that was as rated R as we got at the time.
Yeah.
Pretty much killing a dude right there. But did he? Whatever.
Yeah.
But that him going berserker rage on all those soldiers that was coming in, that was really cool. And that was probably the best action scene in that whole movie. Because a lot of it was just pacing and finding things and just different things, getting to one point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a That was my number two moment of him just berserker rage in the mansion.
Okay. So my last moment is actually from the worst movie.
Okay.
For all the crap that everybody rightfully gives X3.
Okay.
There's one scene that is, that assuming that those three were going to be the only three movies in the trilogy and we're moving on from the entire X-Men franchise, that gave Wolverine's character depth.
Mm.
And that was when we're having that fight scene, the climax on Alcatraz,
mm-hmm.
and Phoenix is killing everybody.
Right.
And Wolverine's walking up to her step by step. You can see his skin peeling away. You can see adamantium. And she tells him, "You're willing to die for them?" And he looks at her and goes, "Nah, I'm willing to die for you." And then that's when Jean like breaks character and says, "Kill me," and he kills her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the closest, other than today, watching Logan, that's the closest that emotionally the X-Men franchise has gotten me. And it's that moment, because it took three movies to build up the pseudo romance between, like, that sexual tension was there between those. So you can cut it with a knife, and they kind of like laid it all out there.
And it affected him for the Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Having
the nightmares of Gene when he's, like, with Mariko.
Right.
Actually, it even affected during Origins when he was... Did it affect Origins? No, it didn't. No, it was Wolverine. Where he was like, "Don't you want to die? Because you're looking for death. You could be with me." And Wolverine's like, "No, I'm not ready."
There is a deleted scene for Logan that involves Jean Grey.
I was hoping we would get that. Yeah. So if there's a deleted scene, then...
Apparently one was filmed. And it'll probably be on the DVD release, if I had to guess. But okay, so that was your number two. All right.
Well, my number one.
That's your number one. Yeah. All right. So my final one, and again, this is particular order. And take it for what it's worth. And it's a quote. From Logan. You've already talked about it. So this is what it feels like. And the reason it's on my list of best moments is because going in from.
This is 17 years in the making.
No, character wise.
Yeah.
X-Men Origins. Him in the 1800s, growing up from the kid, we see him as a kid popping the bone claws for the first time. Him growing up, going through all his wars in the little montage opening montage, and then seeing everything in the X-Men movies.
For and him then to Wolverine, say, where he was offering his to pass his life
to
who ended up being Silver Samurai.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which I don't think actually happened in this timeline, but whatever. Yeah. but for him to get that moment as he's dying and say, "So this is what it feels like."
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh. God damn it. You got me, bitch. But yeah, that's my top five Hugh Jackman Wolverine moments. I hope I did good. I think this, for me personally, I think this is a pretty good list. You have a good list.
Any fight scene with Wolverine is like gonna be like it's hard for me to pick fight scenes because all of them are awesome. So
slash bang bang, things like that, you know. So it's one of those things where you get your hack and slash. But it's the moments that's what's made it stand apart, you know. And you said it at the start of this, man. They got some hard shoes to fill on trying to recast him, and they're gonna have to. They can't just drop the franchise unless they want the rights to go back to Marvel. And they're a corporation, so they're not gonna do that.
17 years for Hugh Jackman. You think Robert Downey will last 17 years as Iron Man?
No. I think he's already like, oh, it depends how much money, I guess.
Because he's already quit like twice. And they keep backing up the truck.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
He's like a real life Tony Stark now. That's how much money he's got. But yeah, that's it, man. This is, like I said, 17 years in the making. We got the final Hugh Jackman Wolverine movie. Just final Wolverine movie just in general, I would think. I would imagine the next X-Men movie that's going to be in the 90s, they probably won't even touch Wolverine, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna have to do something really impactful to bring him back as recast and everything. Yeah. I don't know what they're gonna do. A few episodes ago, we had our picks of who would be a good candidate for a new Wolverine. And if you want to go check that out, it's out there on YouTube. Check it out. But I think that's gonna wrap it up for our review of this. So thank you for checking us out, hearing what we gotta say about Wolverine. What'd you think of Logan? Leave your comments below. Tell us what you thought of the movie. If you have thumbs up, thumbs down. How many times
have you seen it?
Yes. What did you think of Daphne Keene as X-23? So leave us the comments. Tell us what other things you'd like for us to talk about. We like to hear that. If you haven't done so already, hit the subscribe button and tell your friends about us. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/popculturerewind. and also on the Twitter machine.
Oh, yeah. Pop culture RWND.
There you go.
Couldn't afford the vowels. I'm
what
sorry.
What are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
So in all our, you can, if you don't want to catch us on YouTube, if you want to see our ugly mugs, we're also on the audio only on iTunes. So catch us on the download on there. Do a search for Pop Culture Rewind on iTunes. Give us a rate and review. We greatly appreciate it. And again, just tell us, let us know what other suggestions or themes you'd like us to talk about. We'll be down for it.
We'll be coming back in a few weeks with 3 episodes worth of Walking Dead talk.
Yes.
Building up to the season finale.
Yeah.
All out war. It's coming.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think we got some other things in the pipeline also. But, you know, right now we're just having fun with this, and we'll see where it goes from here. So, in the meantime, always remember to pop your culture.
Top guys. Skeet!
're you trying to say snicked at the end?
Yeah. Skink, snicked, what? I don't know. It's the fucking sound. You understood it.